I'm so excited to see all of you. You guys are looking great. And this is a great Sunday. This is a fun Sunday for me as we have been studying the book of Ephesians all year long. Well, we just finished chapter 3. That is so cool. Chapter 3 is over and we are shifting into chapter 4. And this is a huge shift that takes place in the book of Ephesians, which I'll describe for you here a little bit. But before I get into that, let me tell you the title of the message this morning. Rooted and grounded in the worthy walk. The worthy walk. Walking worthy. Walking worthy. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 says this. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. As Ephesians chapter 4 begins, we have a shift that takes place from the first three chapters of Ephesians to the last three chapters. This is the very middle of the book of Ephesians. And it begins with Paul saying, I therefore. And I want to talk, before I get into the message for the full sermon content here, I want to talk to you for a second about the power of therefore. Therefore. Therefore is a hugely significant turning point in this book. Therefore, what it means is, in light of, because of, in view of, due to, since then, in other words, Paul's saying, everything that I have described for you in the first three chapters of this book, although he didn't have chapters, he didn't do chapters and verses. He just wrote the letter. He says, in view of everything that I have told you in this letter up until this point, now this. All of this truth produces all of the instructions that I am about to deliver to you. This is the power of therefore. It is an identity power. It is a truth power. In all of our existence in life, everything that we go through, we're always working on therefores. Therefores are assumptions. And if your therefore is an assumption that is false, then the rest of your life is going to be built on lies. If you have a statement that produces a therefore, that statement better be true. And the reason I emphasize this is because the power of the first three chapters of Ephesians is so powerful. It's so big. It's so strong. It's so mighty. It's so incredible. That's what we spent the last couple of weeks talking about, this being rooted and grounded in love, to try and comprehend the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love that surpasses knowledge. This love is the therefore catalyst that drives the instructions that we're going to see in the latter half of Ephesians. And I think a lot of people have a misperception about Christianity. Even us, even if you've been a faithful churchgoer for a long time, you can have this misperception that Christianity is all about the behavior. It's all about the do's. Do this, do this, do this, do this. If someone says, I'm a Christian, well, that means that they should act this certain way. But that's, you're skipping the main point, which is, what does it mean to be a Christian? It doesn't mean the behaviors. It means the work that God has done. All of the first three chapters produce the behavior in the latter three chapters. Or we could put it this way. The do's of the Christian walk flow from the done of the gospel. The first three chapters of Ephesians says, this is what God has done. Done, finished, accomplished. Jesus did this. As Paul's describing it, he says, there's one One body, one spirit, one hope, one call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is in all and is through all. The one work by the one God and Savior, by the one man, Jesus Christ, by the one death and the one resurrection, is the one thing that all of us have in common. So that's why that we get so misaligned when we're focusing on, well, Sawyer did this. Well, Mark did that. Well, Tawny did this. We're looking at dues. We're all one in Christ Jesus. That's the power of therefore. Therefore. So it changes everything. Where our behavior is not based, or our Christianity is not based on you behaving this way and you behaving that way and you behaving this way and all of us having our act together. No, it's all based on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's what this therefore is there for. That's why we have these instructions that follow. This is why we learn how to walk worthy. So now that you are one in Christ, walk like you are one with Christ. You don't walk into it. It's because you've been made one with Christ that you learn how to walk worthy. And here's the other problem with this idea of walking worthy, is that we get this idea, this total misperception, that I can teach you how to, I can tell you how to walk. I'll just tell you how to walk. You can't just tell someone how to walk. You have to teach them how to walk. There's a big difference. You're not just told how to walk, you're taught how to walk. I mean, again, every single one of you who's had children, how did your children learn how to walk? Did you look down at them crawling around on the floor and say, "You're doing it all wrong. This is what you do. Stand up and put one foot in front of the other." How many of you, that's how your children learn to walk? Nobody, right? It doesn't work that way. Wouldn't that be hilarious, though? Okay, I got it. No. And this is the same concept, the same problem that people have with this. They look at, Christians, they're not behaving, blah, 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 blah. No, we're all learning to walk. We're learning to walk worthy. So what Paul has done now in his masterful letter to the Ephesian church is he's right here in the middle. He's saying, you need to walk worthy. And it's like this clue, walk worthy. Because he's actually sprinkled throughout his entire letter what it actually looks like, what it means to walk worthy. He's already done it. And now he's hidden it and says, walk worthy. And they go, well, what does it mean to walk worthy? That's humble, gentle, full of love, bearing burdens. Yes, but there's more. And he's grabbed onto this word walk and he's put it throughout his letter. And I want to show you what he's said about walking worthy throughout this letter to the Ephesians. And as we look at this, we'll be reminded of how we learned how to walk and how we're still in the process of learning how to walk worthy. But as I say all that, I want to keep emphasizing this, and I'll emphasize it throughout the rest of our study. You only walk worthy because you have been made worthy through Jesus Christ. The do of walking worthy is on the basis of the done of Jesus Christ. Okay, you with me? So, number one, walking worthy means remembering that we once walked unworthily. You can only walk worthy if you will first acknowledge you had an unworthy walk before. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 2, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." You once walked in trespasses and sins, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the sons of disobedience. All of you, all of us, every single person that is a believer in Jesus Christ, and every single person that does not believe in Jesus Christ, has walked unworthily, has followed the ways of the prince of the power of the air, as he described. We were dead. We were the walking dead. And it's a very fitting metaphor to see in our common mythology, the creation of the walking dead, the zombies, right? What is the motivating principle of a zombie? What is it that they live for? To eat the brains of others. They are driven by selfishness. They have no regard for anything else. I haven't watched The Walking Dead show in a long time. Is it still going? I don't know either. Okay. How many of you were big Walking Dead fans? I can tell. Yeah, no. Okay, nobody. All right. There's the whole idea. You guys know, you're familiar with zombies, right? I don't have to explain this to you. Okay, good. Yeah. Zombies, they're completely selfish. Now, that's a zombie, right? But did you know that's also how children are? My brother, my sister-in-law are over there, and they have twins. And they are beautiful little girls. And this video of these twins popped up on the Facebook machine the other day, reminding us of how they behaved when they were little babies. Just these two precious, beautiful little girls and one toy. And the complete and utter selfishness of those beautiful babies is unmistakable, right? They are like, if it wasn't for the mercy of God and the attentiveness of their mother, they would have killed each other for the toy. This is the way that children behave. We're zombies. We're motivated. We walk completely selfishly until something changes. Until something changes. So we have to remember that's how we all have been walking. The second thing is, walking worthy means walking in a path already prepared for us. This is crazy. This is crazy. So he says, hey, you used to walk completely selfishly, but now by the grace of God, your heart has been transformed. You've been given a new life, and now you're going to walk in a path that actually is already laid out for you. This is what he says, Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Beforehand. You can follow the ways of Jesus Christ. You can walk worthy because it's actually been laid out already. It's already prepared for you. Let me make this very clear. God will never ask you to do anything that he will not also give you the provision to do. You have everything that you will ever need in him. Everything. Now, you might not believe it. You might think that it's beyond your ability. You might think that it's beyond your provision. But come on, you've got the immeasurable love of God. The provision is there. You just aren't grabbing onto it. You just aren't fully convinced that the path has already been prepared for you. Now, I'm in the middle of the parenting experience, and I love this parenting principle. This is one of my favorite parenting principles. I think it's one of the most important parenting principles, that you should prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. Now, how many of you are familiar with this principle? What it means is you don't have the power to make all, just make their life easy. You have no power over their future. You have no power over what obstacles and challenges are going to come in their lives. What you can do is equip them with tools. You can equip them with character. You can equip them with wisdom. You can equip them with discipline. You can help make them, instead of being a little smart car that can't get over a rocky road, you can make them into an ATV or a four-wheel drive Bronco that can get over the rocky roads, right? Now, you guys familiar with this parenting principle? Some of you are just like shocked at this, like, what? This is what I should be doing? Yeah, it does. It's true. Make your child's life difficult. Seriously. Some of you are just, your child's life is way too easy. And I'm looking at you in the front row. Yeah, make it harder. Just teasing a little. Yeah. Stop cutting her food for her. Gosh. She can handle a little choking here and there. Anyways. That's a great principle. But you know what the gospel principle? Check this gospel principle. We already learned it in Ephesians chapter 1. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. Holy smokes. I am incapable of paving a smooth road for my child. But you know who's not incapable? Do you know who has the ability to pave the road in front? God. And he has this perfect plan. Now, that doesn't mean he'll make it smooth and silky and easy, but it does mean he will get you there. It does mean he will prepare you beforehand. He has far more power than you and I. God has prepared beforehand the path that we should walk in, so we can walk boldly in it. That's what it means to walk worthy. It means to walk in that confidence. It means to walk equipped. It means to walk ready. It means to walk boldly. It means to walk knowing, even though it's through the valley of the shadow of death, that he's with you. Walk worthy. The third thing that Paul tells us about walking worthy is that walking worthy means walking on purpose. Walking on purpose. In chapter 4, verse 17, he says, "Now I say this and testify in the Lord, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." This is similar to his earlier words about how you were once dead, but it's a little bit different. Because when he talks about you being dead, he's saying that's about your selfishness. But now when he talks about futility of your minds, he's talking about emptiness. He's talking about being void of truth, being fake, being without purpose, being worthless. The opposite of that is to walk with purpose. Now I want to be very, very transparent with you all here about what this is, this futility, walking in the futility of your minds, and how appealing it is to all of us to walk in this aimless way. This is why Target succeeds. Okay? Target is an incredible business that thrives on people walking in futility of mind. There's this appeal that it's unexplainable that certain people will just go to Target and just wander through every single aisle, no purpose, just to walk, just to get their 10,000 steps. And in that walk, oh, I have to have this. I did not come to the store for this. I did not need this. I don't even want this, but I must have this. Can anybody agree with what I'm saying? That's how Target works. Okay? Now, I am not driven by that at Target. I have a much worse futility of mind place, Costco. And it's much worse because instead of, spending an hour in the $1 section, which is actually $3 at Target. I don't understand that. I spend my time in the futility of the massive aisles of Costco thinking, I bet I could use that 60-pound jar of pickles, even though I don't like pickles. That, I'm telling you, that's futility of mind. That is true worthlessness. And that is something I am definitely prone to. Anybody else feeling this? Paul says, stop walking like that. Now, obviously, I'm jesting a little bit about Target, not at all about Costco. But really, what about life? What are you doing in life? What is your purpose? What drives you? What is your motivation? Why are you doing the things that you are doing? Walking worthy means saying, I'm not just wandering, but I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. Where are you going? Where are you going? What is your purpose? Walking worthy means walking on purpose, having a plan, having an objective, knowing I'm here to serve someone. I'm here to bless someone. I'm here to love someone. I'm here to pray for someone. I'm here to show them the gospel. I'm not just here to wander around aimlessly. Because if I wander around aimlessly, I'm going to end up wasting my money and wasting my time and wasting my energy. But if I know that I've been called by God, that I've been chosen by God, that I've been loved by God, and that He has set out before me a plan and a purpose and works that I should walk in them, then I'm going to walk boldly with a purpose. The fourth thing that Paul alludes to when he says walk worthy is walking worthy means trusting that you are not walking alone. You're not alone in this. That's the other thing. When you're walking aimlessly, purposelessly, you're generally walking alone, right? Just wandering. But has anyone ever done that? Gone to the store just to wander by yourself? Okay. Good. But has anyone ever gone and wandered the store by, like, with someone? I don't know. We're not alone. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Walk in love. Do you know that you cannot walk in love if you're walking alone? Walking in love means walking with someone. Means walking in a relationship with someone. Think back to, again, I told you at the beginning about the idea of telling your child, this is how you walk. You stand up and you put one foot in front of the other. Nobody did that. No. What did you do? What did you do to teach your child to walk? You got down on the ground and you held them up. You held their hands, right? No? What is going on here? I don't know what you guys did. You held their hands and they started wobbling and you started walking. Oh, not only that, then once they started to get their legs a little bit stronger, then what'd you do? They're over there holding on to the coffee table and you stand a few feet away and you look them in the eye and smile. Nobody does it. Come on. Walk here. Nobody scowled their child into learning how to walk. Right? Again, I don't know. Some of you are weird. You looked at them and you loved them. You loved them into walking. You loved them, get this, into learning to love. I'm looking over there at Joy and her little twin psychopaths who would have killed each other if they didn't learn how to love. And aren't still learning how to love. That's right. We teach how to love. We learn how to love by being loved. This is how we teach our children to walk. This is how we teach our children to behave. This is how God teaches us to walk worthy. He just keeps loving us. He just keeps looking at us and smiling. Because as much as we think we're capable and confident and all that, and a bag of Doritos, most of the time, we're walking in a way that doesn't really deserve, doesn't warrant a smile. A lot of the times, we're walking in such a way that if I were God, you'd be getting a scowl, right? Oh, gee. But thank God I'm not God. Thank God that Jesus is God, and Jesus is not scowling at you. He sees you as his beloved child, and he's smiling because you're learning how to walk, and he loves you. Jesus says in John 17, this is his prayer, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you have loved me before the foundation of the world. All of the glory of God that will be seen and experienced throughout the world will come as a result of his intentional and personal love for you, for each and every one of you. This is what Jesus prays for, that you would be in him, that you and I would be one, that we would all be one in Christ, and that the love that is on display between us and through us and in us because of the work that Jesus Christ has done, that love would literally radiate glory across the planet. I tell you, if you ever watch a little child and a parent taking their that child taking their first steps towards their parents, it's radiant. Some of you remember. You remember your child's first steps. You remember them glowing as they walk towards you. Come on. Tammy, you remember Kayla's first steps? You remember her beaming, glowing? Come on. Just last week. It's beauty. It's love. That's how we're called to walk worthy. Walk worthy. That same way. Like a little child. Totally confident in the love that the Father has. I got two more for you. Two more things that Paul says. This is what it means to walk worthy. Walking worthy means walking in the light. Walking worthy means walking in the light. Paul says, Ephesians 5:8, at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. As I talk about it, that little baby glowing, beaming, shining as they learn to walk, again, how preposterous to think that anybody would teach their child to walk in the dark. Right? What? Okay, kid. You're going to learn how to walk. Pastor Daniel said you got to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. So we're doing this with the lights off. That's not going to work out too well. That's not what who would do that? Turn off the lights and learn how to walk. No. We walk in the light. We walk exposing the obstacles, the challenges. We walk in the full experience of the light of the glory of God. One of my favorite proverbs that I think about all the time is Proverbs 4:19. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. The wicked don't understand the things they're tripping out over. By the way, let this be a reminder. If you are redeemed, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, it really doesn't make a lot of sense for you to look at the world and say, boy, those people are dumb. Don't they see how wicked their actions are? Don't they see how foolish their behavior is? No, they don't. That's what Proverbs 4:19 says. They do not know over what they stumble. You do because you're in the light, but they don't because they're not in the light. So why are you surprised when sinners sin? Come on. They don't understand. Why can't they see? Because they're in darkness. You're not. So it makes sense to you. But why can't you see that they don't see it? So be patient. Be compassionate. Be prayerful. The reason why. Don't they see that this behavior is sinful? No, they do not. And they're not going to see that it's sinful by you saying, that's sinful. That's not bringing light. That's just adding to their confusion. Okay? Some of you are like, what? This is earth-shattering news. Yeah. That doesn't mean that we're not calling people to repentance. By the way, I got a great sermon on repentance coming up in a few weeks. Don't worry about that. We'll get there. But right now, I'm talking about you are in the light. You have the awareness of what is the way that you should be going. Walk worthy. Walk as a child of the light. John writes this, 1 John chapter 1. This is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie, and we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's how we're supposed to walk, church. Walking in the light. Walking in the light means recognizing, oh, I am. While the wicked, they don't understand what they stumble over, you do. You see that sin. You see that temptation. You see that lie that you are tempted to believe. But if you're in the light, then you can go, oh, Jesus, your blood, I need the forgiveness of your sin, of my sins. I need that. I want to walk in the light as you are in the light. It's a progressive learning to walk worthy over and over and over. Church, none of us are there yet. But as you become more and more mature in Christ, that light should grow brighter and brighter and brighter. It should be exposing those dark things inside of our hearts. We should be bringing them out, saying, Jesus, I bring this into the light. Your blood washes away this sin. Thank God for the communion table to remind us of that. Last thing I want to tell you about, and then I will have our worship team come back up after this and sing one more time about the worthiness, and I'll build my life upon him. Walking worthy means walking in wisdom. Walking in wisdom. This is the end game, that we would be wise and not foolish. Ephesians 5:15-16, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Are you walking in wisdom? Can you become more wise? Of course you can. Wisdom is an endless pursuit. in the book of Proverbs, which is all about wisdom, all these different wisdom principles, but the 8th chapter does this personification of wisdom. Wisdom is not just an idea to be attained, it's a person to know in Proverbs chapter 8. It's really describing Jesus. It says this in Proverbs 8:17-21, "I love those who love me. Those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold. My yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries." The way of righteousness, the paths of justice, this is the way of wisdom. This is what it means to walk worthy. It means to walk in the wisdom of God. But the wisdom of God is not simply a list of trivia that you know. It's not just a bunch of knowledge. The wisdom of God is the person of Jesus Christ. A true pursuit of wisdom will always end in you finding Jesus. You're walking alongside him. You're walking with him. He's walking with you, in relationship with you, in a love relationship with you, telling you how to turn away from the ways you used to walk, the futile ways, the selfish ways, the dark ways, to walk with purpose, to walk in the light, to walk as a new creation, to walk as one who is one with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. "Because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." Again, I'd like our worship team to come up. We're going to sing "Build My Life." We're going to make this a prayer that we would walk worthy. We would walk in the oneness that has been given to us through Jesus. Would you stand with me? I want to pray over you that you would walk worthy. I want to believe that God would continually increase in our lives a faith, a reliance upon him. That worthiness, that purpose would be powerful and palatable and evident in everything. You're not there yet. You're not done. But you're getting better every day. Christ's glory is on display more and more in your life every single day, and I praise God for it. Would you ask him for more of that glory on display as we pray together and then sing this song? Jesus, we thank you for your love that forgives us of all our sins and cleanses us of all unrighteousness. We thank you that it is by grace we have been saved through faith, and this is not of ourselves, but it is your gift. Therefore, God, we want to live lives that are worthy. We want to walk according to the calling that you have given to us. Lord, I pray you strengthen the weak today. Increase their faith. Encourage their hearts. Fill them with immeasurable glory and grace. Pour your spirit out upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.